What I want to talk to you this morning is about the cross. It's been on my heart for a while now. I've been studying and doing a lot of reading and just personal reading. And it's been on my heart, and I want to talk to you this morning about the cross of Christ. To do that, I want to start by reading Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 this morning. But let me read it to you, and what I want to point out to you is the focal point of the cross is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll talk more about that after I read Philippians 2. Philippians 2, 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This morning, I would like to draw your attention to the cross upon which our Savior Jesus Christ died. The cross not only is the emblem or symbol of Christianity, it is the focal point of all evangelical Christianity. Let me just say, the cross of Christ is the focal point of all human history. All human history. Even further, the cross is the focal point of eternity past all the way into eternity future. In the middle of eternity past and eternity future stands the cross, and its significance is often overlooked and not emphasized enough. The cross is not just the focal point of the gospel. It is that. It is the focal point of the gospel, because you really can't talk to somebody about the gospel, about being saved, without talking to them about the cross. It is the focal point of the gospel, but the cross of Christ is the focal point of everything. Everything. Let me show you what I mean. The cross upon which Jesus died is when the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, did that by dying on that cross. And it's stated this way: as the Lamb who has been slain from the foundation of the world, with believers' names written in the book of life. So from the foundation of the world, even into eternity past, the cross upon which Jesus died is referred to the Lamb of God would be slain, is recorded in Scripture. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, the Bible tells us. And then all the way from creation through all of human history, the church age, the rapture of the New Testament church, the tribulation, the second coming of Christ, the millennial reign of Christ, the great white throne judgment, into the eternal state in the future when the Lord creates a new heaven and earth. In the eternal state, that's actually described in Revelation 21 and 22, states in Revelation 21, 22, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are in his temple. This is eternity future. Revelation 22, 3 says, and the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. Where? In eternity future, the eternal state. So from eternity past, before the Lamb was slain, before the foundation of the world, to eternity future, the focal point is the cross upon which the Lamb of God was sacrificed for sinners. In the book of Genesis, the tree of life is mentioned there at creation. In the Gospels and the Epistles, a tree is also mentioned, the cross. In the eternal state, Revelation 21:1 says, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, Revelation 22:2. From creation, the tree of life, to consummation stands the middle tree, the cross of Christ, as the focal point. The cross is the tree of life. Galatians 3:13 tells us, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a what? A tree. You have three trees. You have the tree of life in creation. You have the tree of life in eternal state. And in the middle stands the cross, the tree. The tree was the cross. What I want to do this morning is impress upon your hearts the necessity to never lose sight of our focal point as Christians and as a church. That focal point of everything we do is the cross of Christ. It is the message of the cross. Is it not that we heard that we were saved by? It was the message of the cross that we heard in the gospel that brought faith and repentance and salvation. What did we hear when somebody told us about the Lord? Did they tell us about the cross? And that cross brought faith and repentance in that message. We sing about the cross, but often we lose sight of its significance. The hymn writers emphasize the cross. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I would fain to take my stand, the shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land. Or how about down at the cross where my Savior died, downward from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, glory to his name. Or in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. The hymn writers emphasize the cross in their hymns. One more, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss and pour contempt in all my pride. For us Christians, we will cherish the old rugged cross, right? Don't we sing about that? That's what we sing. We cherish it. If there is anything that we cannot forget, it is the cross of Christ. It is the focal point of everything, everything. In between heaven and hell stands the cross. In between one man going to paradise to be with Christ and another man dying in his sins, and the middle cross was Christ on Calvary's hill. When they look at the cross and how they respond to what happened in that one day in human history, determines the eternal destiny, heaven or hell, just like on Golgotha. One cross, the guy went to paradise. The other cross, the guy went to hell because the guy in the middle cross is the focal point of everything. For 1 Corinthians 1:18 states, for the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. It's foolish to them. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Some foolish, some power. What stands in the middle is the cross. The message of the cross. That's why after the Apostle Paul returned from Athens, arguing with the philosophy of the Stoics in Athens on Mars Hill, who wouldn't listen to Paul's message about Christ crucified, when he returned back to Corinth, he writes in 1 Corinthians 2:1, and when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Christ crucified. Except Christ and him crucified. That's the only thing that's important. Because that's where everything is dealt with, there at the cross. That is the starting point of everything. It is the ending point of everything. The cross stands in the middle of the focal point of everything. Because Jesus is the focal point of the cross and what he did there on the cross. For us, the cross of Christ and what was accomplished on the cross for us is why we're here this morning engaged in worship. Right? What he did. It's what he accomplished on the cross is why we sing Why we're here to hear His holy word proclaimed. We know more about Him. We're here to have fellowship with those who believed in the message of the cross and our love for one another. Because we're constantly to keep our focus on the cross of Christ. The Hebrew writer puts it this way. Looking unto or fixing your eyes in Hebrews 12:2. Fixing your eyes upon Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy set before Him. What? Endured the cross. Despising the shame. And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are constantly to fix our eyes upon the cross of Christ. It's no small accomplishment what Christ did when He died on that cruel cross, that ignominious death, an execution devised, wicked, cruel execution ever devised by human beings. So much so that Paul writes in Galatians 6:14, may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's the only place you can boast. You can't boast in anything except for the cross. It is the focal point of everything. From cover to cover in our holy Bibles, the cross of Jesus Christ is the focal point of God's revelation of redemptive history. All through the holy Bible, no matter where you look. From the seed of the woman that was prophesied in Genesis 3:15, that's going to crush Satan's head, that's only going to bruise his heel. From the seed of the woman who would destroy Satan, with all the genealogies in the Bible about the messianic line of Christ, to His incarnation, taking on a human body, then dying on a cross as the true Passover lamb, then His resurrection, His ascension into heaven, then the second coming and the millennial reign, off into the eternal state. The Bible connects it all with the cross of Christ. It's the focal point of everything. It's the focal point of everything. If you're saved this morning, it's because of the cross of Christ. If your loved ones who are believers in Jesus Christ are in heaven now, it is because of the cross of Christ. When you die, if you're a believer, and you open your eyes in heaven, it will be because of the cross of Christ. If you tell your loved ones about salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and eternal life in heaven, the focal point of that message will be the cross of Jesus Christ. I dare to say the cross of Christ is on every page of the Bible. Take your Bible open to any page you want, and I'll show you the cross on that page. No matter where you read in the Bible, it relates somehow to the cross of Christ. Why is that? Because the whole Bible is about the plan of salvation, and the cross is the focal point of that plan. There is no plan B. It is the focal point of that plan. When you talk about salvation and forgiveness of sins and eternal life, the Bible uses specific words to help us understand what salvation means because it has such a broad, comprehensive aspect to it. We're going to look at them a little bit. Words like justification, redemption, ransom, propitiation, reconciliation, regeneration, just to name a few. I want to tell you, none of those words mean anything without the cross of Christ. The cross is what gives those words meaning. Atonement, substitution, sacrifice. They're all referring to the cross. Faith, repentance, elect, new birth, calling, glorification. Only mean something when they're connected to the cross of Christ. Even the church itself, only becomes what it is because of the cross of Christ. Ephesians 5:25 says, Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Where and when did that happen? On the cross of Christ. I hope I'm making clear the reason for the cross of Christ being the focal point of everything we do as a church. In a little bit, we're going to have a time of a fellowship meal with one another, as we talked about earlier. But you know, 1 John 1:7 tells us, we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Even our fellowship is based upon the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sins. Our fellowship with one another is based upon the blood of Jesus. the cross of Christ, the blood atonement. We express our love for one another as a church. But the Bible says he first loved us. He first loved us. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. Where and when did that happen? On the cross. Our church life is based upon the cross. We have a Christian church life based on the cross, because of the cross. So the focal point of the cross, what I'm trying to emphasize this morning, to help us refocus or just to remember the cross as our compass for all of life and death and eternity. That's my propositional statement. I want to emphasize to you this morning and help us to refocus and use the focal point of the cross to remember it for our compass of all life, death, and eternity. To do that, I want to start off with the simple ordinance the Lord gave to the church to observe, the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Of course, when was that? On the cross, right? Jesus said, this is my body given for you. This is a cup of the blood of the new covenant for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. When we observe the Lord's table, he said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what? Remember when I died on the cross and gave my body and my blood. Remember that. Don't forget that. That's why we do it over and over and over again, so we don't forget. We observe the Lord's table. We are to remember. What is it that we are to remember when we observe the Lord's table? His body and blood given when he died on the cross, right? The Lord wants us to remember the cross. We often read about justification or justified in the Bible. That's kind of a legal courtroom term. It means to be treated as not guilty, justified as any crime. What I want to do is, words like that, I want to walk you through a few important biblical words that emphasize just what was accomplished on the cross of Christ. If the cross is our focal point, and we're to always remember that, and the Bible gives us all kinds of words that tells us about what was accomplished there, I just want to walk you through a few of those for emphasis this morning to help us to remember that it will always be our compass for life, death, and eternity. So point number one, I just wanted to point out to you this word justified. Justified. It's another term that relates to being saved. Justified. Justification is just another word for being saved. It is declaring upon us a righteous standing before God. Justified. Treated just as if you've never sinned is a good way to understand that. It's declaring upon us a righteous standing before God. Romans 5:9 says, much more than having now been justified, how? By his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Justified by his blood, we are saved from the wrath of God. Legally, you have been saved from sin's judgment. Legally, you've been saved from sin's judgment. It's a legal term, justification, because of his blood. His blood that was shed on the cross, even our justification, was by grace. Romans 3:24 tells us our justification and redemption is because of the cross of Christ. This is point number two, this word redemption that you read in the Bible. The focal point of the cross is for our redemption. Not only is the focal point of the cross for our justification, but the focal point of the cross is for our redemption. Redemption is being justified as a gift, Romans 3:24 says, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Redemption means meaning to be bought back, to be redeemed. In the term referring to the cross, it's our rescue at the high price of Christ's blood shed on the cross. Our redemption is the high price that rescued us. Because Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption. How? through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. How are we redeemed? How are we rescued with that high price of the blood that was on the cross? There's another point, the focal point of the cross is to pay for our ransom. This would be point number three. Another word you read in the Bible, you read about justification. That's what Jesus accomplished on the cross. So we declared not guilty and we treated just as if we never sinned. He paid for our redemption by with his own blood so that we could be brought back by this high price. There's this ransom. Point number three, the focal point of the cross is to pay our ransom. The ransom is actually referring to a price paid for the release or freedom of one held in bondage. So here's someone held in bondage, and a payment is made to set them free or release them. Ransom is the actual payment for redemption on the cross. He redeemed us. He paid the high price, but the high price is called ransom. That is the price actually paid, the payment made. In Mark 10:45, ransom, Jesus said, for even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and give his life what? A ransom for many. When did he give his life a ransom for many? It was on the cross. On the cross. On the cross, Jesus died to give his life a payment, a ransom for many. He paid the price for their release and freedom from sin's bondage. When he was on the cross and he said, tetelestai, it is finished. It actually should be translated, payment made. Payment made. The payment was to release us and free us from sin's bondage that we were a slave to. On the cross, Jesus died to redeem those who were to be brought back from sin's curse and judgment. On the cross, Jesus died to justify the sinner and legally remove his guilt and sin and be treated as if he's innocent and declared not guilty. He was justified in the tribunal of God's high court in heaven. The anvil dropped, not guilty. Free, innocent, treated just as if you'd never sinned. Justified. Payment's been made. You've been redeemed. The ransom payment's been made. The blood. That all happened at the cross. This is what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us. This is what he accomplished for us on the cross. Colossians 2:14 says, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, that was all of our sin, that was all guilty, judgment, you deserve wrath, hell, condemned. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile toward us, made us and God like this, enemies, and he has taken it away, having nailed it to the cross. Wow. Having nailed it to the cross. Paid. You bring in a bill that needs to be paid, an invoice needs to be paid. Here's what you owe. Jesus splatters it with his blood, nails it to the cross, and says, paid. Done. I signed it with my own blood. Paid. Free to go. Justified. Redeemed. Ransom paid. Ransom paid. The cross is also for our reconciliation. Our reconciliation, you read that in the Bible. To bring peace between two who were once apart. To bring peace between two who were once apart. Reconciliation to reconcile, to restore a relationship with God recovered by the cross of Christ. There was a severed relationship. A severed relationship. We come into the world condemned already, with born as sinners with a sin nature. And we sin by nature and choice. And there is this enmity between us and God. And just the wrath of God hanging over our heads. We weren't buddy-buddy with God when we came in this world. And Colossians 1:20 tells us, talking about Christ, through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace, how? Through the blood of the cross. He made peace between us and God. How? By the blood of the cross. He reconciled us back to God. Romans 5:10 says, "For if while we were enemies," and "we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Aren't you glad you're reconciled? Aren't you glad you're back in peace with God? That happened at the cross. The cross of Christ reconciled us back to God in peace. There's no more enmity. No more enmity between God and us. Actually, no more enmity between us and other people. Ephesians 2:16 says that he might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross. Reconciliation is all based upon the cross. Redemption is all based upon the cross. The ransom that you read about is all based upon the cross. Your justification is all based upon the cross. The cross is the focal point of everything. How about the biblical term propitiation? Propitiation seemed like a highfalutin word. This is point number four. The focal point of the cross is to make a propitiation for us. Propitiation, this is another term for like a atonement, you could say. 1 John 2:2, referring to Christ, he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Christ's atonement on the cross satisfied the wrath of God against sin. It satisfied his wrath. Something had to appease the wrath of God against sin. And only propitiation, only the sacrifice, only that atonement made could appease and satisfy the wrath of God and calm it down and say, okay, no more wrath. He himself, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:10 says, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be" what? "The propitiation for our sins." That would be on the cross. To be the atonement for our sins. To be the blood sacrifice for our sins. Propitiation, atonement, to meet the demands that will remove the just penalty of sin. There had to be something to meet the just demands of sin, the penalty of sin. Had to be something. There had to be a payment made, a ransom made to redeem people so they could be justified. And that is Christ's propitiation, his atonement. He met the demands and removed the just penalty of our sins. He did that as a substitute, a sacrifice, the innocent for the guilty. This would be point number five. The focal point of the cross is to be our substitute. Jesus is the substitute sacrifice for our sins. On the cross, Romans 3:25 says, "God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood. This was a demonstration of his righteousness." He did that for us. He substituted us, a demonstration of his righteousness. God could not just let sin go unpunished. God could not just let sin go unpunished. That would be injustice. That would be injustice. God is not unjust, but righteous. He's actually wholly righteous and wholly just. The justice that God demands for sin, listen to me, this is the heart of everything I'm going to say. The justice that God demands for sin, he himself met those demands out of love. The justice that God demands for sin, he himself met those demands out of love. So God died on the cross. God died on the cross to meet his own demands for sin, at the same time demonstrated his holy love for sinners. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? God died on the cross to meet his own just demands for sin, and at the same time demonstrated his holy love for sinners. Yes, God died on the cross. God died on the cross. God was in Christ on the cross, meaning God himself was hanging on the cross and died as a God-man, atoning for the sins of men. This is so good. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:19. Listen to the wording. God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. that would be on the cross. God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself. Isn't that wonderful? The only way God himself could pay for the sins of men was to become a man and die for men just like a man. And he did that on the cross. How could God die for us? By taking upon himself a human body and dying for men just like a man. But it was God on the cross. The way he proved he could grant forgiveness is because he substituted himself as a ransom payment for the sin's forgiveness. God substituted himself. He made the payment himself. The only payment that could possibly be acceptable, because he's perfect. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. Psalms 85:10 states, "Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." That took place on the cross. That took place on the cross. Holy love and holy justice met at the cross. The soul that sins, it must die. I'm a just God. There must be a payment for sin because I'm just. I'll pay for it myself. And I'll die on the cross myself out of love to meet justice that sin demands. Payment demands. God met his own demand for his holy justice by giving himself to meet the demands of justice out of love. Isn't that good? I don't think many people realize that God was in Christ dying on the cross because Jesus is God. His righteousness, his holy righteousness, was on display at the cross, but because he died as our substitute, peace was made between holy God and sinners. What a demonstration of God's wrath against sin. What a demonstration of God's holy wrath against sin and his righteous justice and his holy love for sinners, meeting sin's justice by giving himself for the sinner. It's almost incomprehensible. He did that himself. Isaiah 53 puts it like this. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, "But he was," this is written 700 years before Christ, "but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. By his scourgings, we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Of us all. Verse 11. "As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many as he will bear their iniquities." And then it says, "Because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sins of many and interceded for the transgressors." That's substitution. That's substitution. Dying in your place. This is more than just sacrifice. This is substitution. This is being a sacrifice in somebody else's place. That's someone taking another's place. It's a sacrifice, yes, but it's a substitute sacrifice. It's God taking the place of the sinner, taking the just penalty for sin in the sinner's place. Wow. I get chicken skin just thinking about that. That's what's taking place. God is taking place of the sinner himself on the cross, taking the just penalty for what sin demands, payment demands, in the sinner's place. That's what happened when the God-man Christ Jesus died on the cross. That's what happened. The righteous one, God in Christ, poured himself out in death on the cross. It's the only way God could die. But of course, you know, you can't keep God dead. That's why he rose again. It says he himself bore the sins of many. God did that. God did that. Titus 3, 4 through 6 says, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. When do you think he did that? On the cross, right? The cross of Christ is the focal point of salvation. It is the focal point of salvation. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body, where? On the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we are healed. That's the quote from Isaiah 53. If you're saved, every sin you've ever committed or ever will commit is why he died on the cross. When I think about that, I don't want to sin again. I don't want to add to that punishment, wrath, atonement. She caused us to look at sin differently. Paul Washer writes, there is no greater message, no greater thought than what Christ has done for us on the cross. I think that's what I've been trying to say this morning. I think that's what I've been trying to express to you. As I conclude, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. They don't see it. They don't understand it. They don't even want to hear it. But if we just go through the religious activities of the church and do not emphasize the cross in our worship, emphasize the cross in our preaching, in our living, in our conversations, then people will not and cannot be saved. As foolish as it is to them right now, one day that could change. One day that can change, right? Because the message of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation. There was a church which had a sign on the front of the church that said, the sign said, we preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified in front of the church. But as the church became lethargic and a little indifferent, losing focus in heart about the cross, the outside of the church began to reflect the inside of the church, and vines began to grow and cover the sign till it said, we preach Christ. The vines had grown over the word crucified. Then after a while, vines covered and grew and covered the word Christ till eventually the sign just said, we preach. We preach. Sad, huh? We preach. But here, we preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. The cross of Christ for the salvation of souls. Amen? Let me just give you a closing thought so we can have a time of fellowship and meal. The focal point of the cross is Christ and what he did on that cross. He accomplished so much. So much. Heaven and hell is on either side of it. Eternity past and eternity future is on each side of it. The cross is the middle of everything. It is our compass. The focal point of the cross is Christ for our justification, redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, substitution. All for what? For our salvation. Those are all salvific terms. Let me just say, Christ died for us. He died for us. He didn't die for no reason. He died for us. This is my body is given for you. This is my blood I've given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. For you, for us. He died for us to save us because we needed saving. Two, Christ died for us that he might bring us to God, that he might reconcile himself back to us. He could bring us back now into the family of God. He died so that he might bring us back to God because we were separated from God. Three, Christ died for our sins. That was the problem. Sins need to be forgiven. Sin need to be dealt with. And it was dealt with on the cross. And last, Christ died our death. God died your death. God himself did. He died your death. He died your death as your substitute. He took you off the punishment and put himself up there and said, I'll take it for them. Is not the cross our compass for all of life and death and eternity? Well, I've preached this whole sermon to help us never forget that. And so remember the next time when you sing about the cross, I'll cherish the old rugged cross. You should really, really mean that because it means so much. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your holy word. Thank you for these that you love so much that you're willing to send your son, God incarnate, perfect, sinless, to come in this place as a man and die for the sins of men. By one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. And so by the obedience of one man, the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, there was salvation granted, eternal life granted, grace abounded, and reversed sin. Oh Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this message. May we do everything in this church, the ministries that we do, the singing that we do, the preaching that we do, may it all funnel down into Christ dying on the cross for our sins, who has resurrected, ascended, and is coming back to get us, and we long to see him and tell him face to face how much we love him and thank him for doing that for us. And when we see heaven, our love will overflow into worship for him, for what he did on the cross, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Thank you, Father, for this time we've had to contemplate such a deep, profound truth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.